Hare Krishna. Continue reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the Madhya Lila, chapter number 4, entitled Sri Madhavendra Puri's Devotional Service. Today we'll recite together text number 147, but I'll just read the verses leading up to 147. This is, just to put it in context, all about Madhavendra Puri's visit to Ramuna. The priest offered his obeisances to Madhavendra Puri and returned to the temple. Then, in ecstasy, Madhavendra Puri ate the sweet rice offered to him by Krishna. After this, Madhavendra Puri washed the pot and broke it into pieces. He then bound all the pieces in his outer cloth and kept them nicely. And then what did he do with all the pieces? Each day, Madhavendra Puri would eat one piece of that earthen pot. And after eating it, he would immediately be overwhelmed with ecstasy. These are wonderful stories. Having broken the pot and bound the pieces in his cloth, Madhavendra Puri began to think, "The Lord has given me a pot of sweet rice, and when the people hear of this tomorrow morning, there will be crowds." Thinking this, Madhavendra Puri offered his obeisances to Gopinath on the spot and left Ramuna before morning. Walking and walking, Madhavendra Puri finally reached Jagannath Puri, which is also known as Nilachal. There he saw Lord Jagannath and was overwhelmed with loving ecstasy. When Madhavendra Puri was overwhelmed in the ecstasy of a love of Godhead, he sometimes stood up and sometimes fell to the ground. Sometimes he laughed, danced, and sang. In this way, he enjoyed transcendental bliss by seeing the Jagannath deity. When Madhavendra Puri came to Jagannath Puri, people were aware of his transcendental reputation. Therefore, crowds of people came and offered him all sorts of respect in devotion. Even though one may not like it, reputation, as ordained by providence, comes to him. Indeed, one's transcendental reputation is known throughout the entire world. Now we recite 147. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shri Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Being afraid of his reputation, Pratistha, Madhavendra Puri fled from Ramuna. But the reputation brought by love of Godhead is so sublime that it goes along with the devotee as if following him. Purport. Almost all conditioned souls within the material world are envious. That's not good news. Jealous people generally turn against one who automatically attains some reputation. This is natural for jealous people. Consequently, when a devotee is fit to receive worldly reputation, he is envied by many people. This is quite natural. When a person out of humility does not desire fame, people generally think him quite humble and consequently give him all kinds of fame. Actually, a Vaishnav does not hanker for fame or a great reputation. But Madhavendra Puri, the king of Vaishnavas, bore his reputation, but he wanted to keep himself outside of the vision of the general populace. He wanted to cover his real identity as a great devotee of the Lord. But when people saw him overwhelmed in the ecstasy of a love of Godhead, they naturally gave credit to him. Actually, a first-class reputation is due Madhavendra Puri because he was a most confidential devotee of the Lord. Sometimes a sahajya presents himself as being void of desires for reputation, Pratistha, in order to become famous as a humble man. Such people cannot actually attain the platform of celebrated Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we continue reading about the exalted character of Madhavendra Puri. Last time I gave a class on the character of Madhavendra Puri, someone told me after the class, that was depressing. So high, we're so low. I'll try not to be depressing today. But yes, this is Madhavendra Puri. Vaishnavas in Chaitanya Charitamrita are off the scale in their saintliness, so they do things that we would never imagine doing. Before I talk about that, actually, it's interesting, Prabhupada's purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes it said, Prabhupada's purports in the Gita are like Prabhupada giving a public pandal class, you know, like the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada's purports in the Bhagavatam are like when Prabhupada gives a morning class to the devotees. But it said that the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita are sometimes like Prabhupada in a room conversation, just speaking his heart. So sometimes you see in the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you look closely, Prabhupada is actually relating many of the things that he's experiencing and feeling. Here Prabhupada is talking about how all conditioned souls within the material world are envious, and when someone does good, then everyone envies them. And why was that very relevant to Prabhupada? Because he experienced that also. When he spread the Krishna consciousness movement, many envious people, Prabhupada felt their jealousy and their criticism. You know, some Prabhupada had spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and then some people would say, anyone could have done it. Anyone could have done it. And Prabhupada gave the story of Christopher Columbus, who discovered America. You know this story? Prabhupada told it. That once Christopher Columbus, who had discovered America, was in a room full of explorers. So the explorers said, anyone could have done it. Anyone could have done it. You just sailed. Anyone could have done it. So what Columbus did, you know what he did, right? He got an egg. And he said, I want one of you to stand this egg on its head. How do you stand the egg on its head? So everyone was completely baffled. And then you know what Columbus did, right? He just went, pop. He just popped the top. And then he stood it up. And he looked at all of them and he said, anyone could have done, but I have done. So Prabhupada said, yes, anyone could have done. Anyone could have spread the Krishna consciousness. Anyone could have had full faith in the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and done it. Anyone could have done. But I did it because I had the faith. So Prabhupada, you can see here, he's explaining about how he was the object of so much envy because of what he had did on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though Prabhupada didn't want, he didn't want the fame. He didn't want that. Here, Gela Palan, in the word for word, you see, Madhavendra Puri was running away. In life, we run away from many things. What kind of things do we run away from in life? Responsibilities. Danger. Debt. Run away from debt. We run away from problems. We run away from conflicts. We run away from commitment. What is Madhavendra Puri running away from? Pratistara bhaye. He's running away from the prospect of being respected. I don't know how many people would run away from the prospect of being respected. He is in fear of being respected by others. That is the depth of his humility. And this is, as I was mentioning, the off-the-scale saintliness of the Vaishnavas in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that they're running away from respect. They're running away from fame. They're running away from recognition. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wanted to compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Gopal Bhatta said, I'll give you information so you can write a masterpiece, a magnum opus that will be known for generations, but just one deal. Don't mention my name in it. Whatever you do, don't mention my name. So you see, practically in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you hear the name of Gopal Bhatta, although he's so eminent. Hardly hear that, because he told Krishna, don't mention my name. Of course, we all found out that he said, don't mention my name, and therefore his fame increases. You can't escape it. How can you escape it? Vaishnavas can't escape it. It's funny, even when they try to escape it. Okay, like for example, take an example like Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur is famed as an amazing Vaishnav. So Gopal Chappal, he can't handle it. So what does he do? One day in Navadvip, he comes to the house of Srivas Thakur and he puts all the articles for worshipping Durga Devi. Why? Because then that will defame Srivas, because that's a more lower type of worship. It involves intoxication, meat eating and so on and so forth. So Gopal Chappal put all the articles on his patio so that the whole of Nadia, the whole of Navadvip would think that he's actually drinking, he's eating meat. Basically, he wanted to assassinate his character. What does Srivas Thakur do? He helps him. Srivas Thakur announces to the whole of Navadvip, look, just see what I'm doing. I mean, who would do that? The amazing thing is that Srivas Thakur's purity is so high that everyone realizes, oh my God, no, there must be something behind this. Oh, it's that Gopal Chappal, he tried to frame him. And then Srivas Thakur's fame goes higher. Just see, so humble. I mean, if someone would try to character assassinate us, we're going to make 100% sure that everyone knows the real story. Like, send an email to that person, set the record straight, you know, I didn't do this, this is not really me, we got to establish the truth here. Srivas Thakur was ready to be defamed, and the net result was his fame increased. Rupa Narayan comes to Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatan are like Gopi, Bhavara, Samrita. They're just like absorbed in like a different consciousness. So Rupa Narayan comes, the Digvijay Pandit, the big scholar, the one who wants to be the top dog. So he comes to Rupa Goswami and he says, here's the Vijaya Patra. They say you're a big scholar, Rupa. The Rasacharya, apparently. So then, come on then, let's have a debate. Rupa's like not interested. He's like, who am I? I'm no one. Like, why are you wasting your time debating me? So, like, Digvijay, Rupa Narayan, he's happy. He says, okay, then can you sign it? Written proof that I defeated you. Rupa's like ready. He's like, yeah, no problem. Sign it. You defeated me, no problem. And then later on, Jiva Goswami finds out. And Jiva Goswami just wipes the floor with Rupa Narayan. He just like annihilates him. Not out of ego, but because he wanted to defend the reputation of Rupa Goswami. And when Rupa Goswami finds out, he becomes so angry. He goes, you are not fit to live in Vrindavan. How could you just endeavor in such a way to maintain the name? He said, get out of Vrindavan, you're not fit to live here. So then Jiva goes to Akuragat or Sheshashai, I'm not sure. And there he lives in a crocodile hole doing bhajan, repenting. All these things are there, like the devotees just don't want, they're running away from reputation. It's so like, we can't understand it. Haridas Thakur, it's like, Haridas Thakur is so pure that everyone loves him. So Ramachandra Khan just can't handle it. He just can't handle it. It's said that Ramachandra Khan wasn't envious of Haridas Thakur. It's not possible to be envious of Haridas Thakur because he's too pure. If someone is actually pure, you can't be envious of them. It's not possible. But what Ramachandra Khan was envious of was the fact that everyone was honoring him. That's what he couldn't handle. So what did Ramachandra Khan do? He sent a prostitute. You can go to that place, Benapol. We've fortunately visited there some years ago. And then what does Haridas Thakur do? He makes the prostitute a devotee. And it's like, and then his fame just increases even more. And Ramachandra's like, oh my God, like I sent that prostitute to defame him and it's all backfired. Whatever someone does to defame it, it's like, it's funny, it has been known that certain people have tried to close this temple down. The net result of all of that is that the popularity of the temple grew by 100 times. It's like, oh God, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Bhagavad Gita says, isn't it? Tulya ninda stutir maunir santusta yena kena chit. A devotee doesn't want fame, doesn't matter, fame, infamy. totally beyond it. Mahaprabhu says, Amanina, Manadena, I don't want any respect. Even Krishna is said, where is that? Gyanete prema sitila nahi hoya prita. That when someone worships me, but they have so much reverence and they're giving me so much fame and respect, then nahi mora prita, that kind of love also does not fully satisfy. Even Krishna doesn't want respect. Even Krishna doesn't want fame. So now, the Shastra tells us, don't look for respect, fame, recognition. All the devotees throughout their life are telling us, don't look for fame, don't look for respect, don't look for recognition. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, wear this verse around your neck at all times, don't desire respect for anything. And even Krishna is saying, this kind of love where people respect me, it doesn't fully satisfy. So across the board, it's like, don't seek respect, recognition, fame. But practically, the conditioned soul is always seeking fame, respect, and recognition. Everyone, practically. We may do it in different degrees. Some people may want to become like the biggest famous person in the entire, like, real distinction. Other people may not want to be that high profile, but they want, you know, some level of recognition in the society. And some people may be a bit more shy. They don't want that recognition by position or whatever. But at least in dealings, they want to know that people actually respect them. On different levels, we want it. Now, the question is, if the Shastra, if the devotees, if Mahaprabhu, if Krishna himself don't want it, why do we want it so much? Anyone want to tell us? Why do we want it? The Shastra is telling us, don't want it. The devotees don't want it. Krishna doesn't want it. Why do we want it? We don't have it. Because of bodily identification, we want it. Why do we want it? Why do we want respect? Why do we want it though? But why? Why is it so strong? We don't feel loved, okay? Yeah, we're getting to some deep psychological stuff here. We want to be Krishna. Feel the vacuum. Yeah, this is the point. Basically, everyone in the material world is insecure. We're completely insecure. And why are we insecure? Bhagavatam explains. Bhayam dvitiya bhiniveshata shyadi shadapetasya viparya yoshmiti tanmayayato buddha abhachetam bhaktyaikayesham gurudevatatma. First problem, ishadapetasya. We turned away from Krishna. First, problem. Problem number one. That was a bad move. That was terrible. Ishadapetasya. First bad move is you looked away from Krishna. Then what happens? Viparyayo smriti. Viparyaya means a reverse conception of life. The moment you turn away from Krishna, your conception of life is reversed. Instead of seeing yourself as a soul, you see yourself as a body. Instead of investing yourself in spiritual seva, you invest yourself in material desire. Instead of focusing on the eternal, you're fixated on the temporary. So the problem is you have a viparyayo smriti, you have a complete reverse conception of life. Then Bhagavatam says the next problem then happens when your conception is reversed, bhayam dvitiya. Dvitiya means a second reality. So now, the conditioned soul becomes absorbed in a second reality that has no substance. There's no substance here. It's all, as Prabhupada would say in this beautiful word, phantasmagoria. And then when you're absorbed in a second reality that has no substance, then bhayam. Basically, we're fearful and insecure, completely fearful and insecure. Abhinivesha shyad. And then we try to invest everything in abhinivesha shyad, in unsubstantial things. And Bhagavatam basically concludes by saying, Dan mayayato, this is maya. So basically, each one of us are insecure because we've turned away from Krishna. We've turned away from the source of all love. Like Ishapanishad says, Om Purnam Adapurnam Idam Purnam Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Krishna is complete. Everything emanating from Krishna is complete. The material world is even complete for its purpose. Everything is complete if you're in the consciousness of Krishna. But the moment you are disconnected from the complete whole, then you feel incomplete. And because we feel incomplete, then we look for approval. Then we look to impress others. Then we look for acknowledgement. Then we're constantly seeking validation. Then we're constantly looking to feel as though we're worth something. So, the conditioned soul, this is the biggest problem, that we're insecure. And when we're insecure, then these mentalities develop. Like, there are two major mentalities of a conditioned soul who's insecure. Okay, before I do that, I do one thought experiment with you, yeah? Okay. 2 + 2 = 4. 3 + 3 = 6. 4 + 4 = 8. 5 + 5 = 11. What did you notice? What did you notice in what I just said? Inconsistency, okay. Wrong calculations. I added a number, okay. Not following. So basically what everyone here is saying is that I did something wrong. Are you? Is that what you're saying? I got one sum wrong. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? Okay, thank you. Very merciful. Basically, from all of your comments, the thing you noticed is that I got one sum wrong. And I'm getting insecure about it. Did you notice anything else apart from that I got one sum wrong? Thank you. I got three correct. I got three correct. I got three correct. But you told me I was inconsistent. You told me I made a mistake. You told me I added a number. You told me, you know, it's okay. Maybe it was just something you slipped. It's okay. We know your heart. Everyone saw the mistake. Sorry, me too. I've been on the receiving end of this. So. Isn't it amazing the mentality of a conditioned soul? To see the faults is so deep-rooted because we're insecure. When you're insecure, you need to boost yourself up. That is only two ways to boost yourself up. Either you actually boost yourself up way beyond what you are, which is seeking reputation, fame, respect, da-da-da-da-da. Or the only other way to do it, if you can't do that, is pull everyone down. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking from a conditioned point of view. We'll get onto the devotional aspects later. Basically, that's what a conditioned soul does to deal with their insecurity. Either you boost yourself up or you pull others down. There's only two options for a conditioned soul, really, who's not in spiritual knowledge. So the pure Vaishnavas are so connected with Krishna. They're so established in their relationship of love that they have no fault-finding tendency, nor do they have any desire to boost themselves up. They're just like, okay, they're fine. Like, it's amazing, this person was with Prabhupada. I can't remember who it was, but he made an amazing statement. He said, I watched this man. I just like observed him. And one thing convinced me this person was a complete saint. One thing convinced me. And you know, it's profound. He said, because whenever I watched him, morning to evening, in every forum, interacting with every person, doing every activity he was doing, I factually witnessed that in no situation was he ever trying to impress anyone. It was like, wow, that was profound. If you ever come across a person who in no situation is trying to impress anyone else, then you can understand this person is completely secure. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Sitaram Lakshmananwar. And how do you become that secure? Only if you're connected to Krishna. There's no other way. There really is no other way. So, until and unless we come to that point of really experiencing our connection to Krishna, we will feel insecure and seek recognition. The amount of recognition and fame and respect that we seek is directly proportional to how much disconnected we are from Krishna. The more disconnected we are from Krishna, the more we'll seek labha, puja, pratistha, profit, adoration, and distinction. And the more you're connected, the more you're totally beyond it. Okay. I'm going into the dangers of becoming depressing again, so let's like bring it back. How do we get there? Yes, thank you. Let's talk about that. How do we get there? It sometimes seems so far away. There's the ideal and then there's the real, but we got to look at what's achievable. So someone may say, look, come on, man, you have to be realistic. We do need some appreciation. We do need some recognition. We do need some respect. Otherwise, how will we survive in this world? Are we immediately going to become transcendental where we don't desire any of these things? It's too far, too much of a leap. That's then where Varnashram comes in. Nischintana Prabhu gave a nice class yesterday. I like this statement. I don't know whether that's from the Christian person, but he said, first, sometimes you have to build yourself up, and then you can break yourself down. And I thought that was quite a profound statement, that Varnashram is basically a way by which we find good friends, good lifestyle, good community, and most importantly, a good engagement for ourselves so that we feel that we're doing something meaningful, so that we're doing something worthwhile, so that we're doing something where we're utilizing our whatever we've been given and we're actually giving something to Krishna. That's why Nischintana was making the point that Prabhupada put a lot of attention on establishing Varnashram, because in Varnashram we can find a meaningful way to function in the material world and feel some sense of self-worth until we come to the transcendental point where we don't actually need any of it. And that's why Varnashram is so important. And if it would be another speaker here, this would be the majority of the class talking about Varnashram, if it was Nischintana, for example. But I'm not very good on Varnashram. But this is what we basically have to do. We have to find a situation for ourselves in which we feel that we're part of a meaningful society. And then when we feel that sense of purpose in our psychophysical nature, then from that platform of peacefulness, we must engage deeper in sadhana, deeper in our bhajan, and then through the purification that comes from that, eventually we come to the point where we transcend these desires for name, fame, recognition, and so on and so forth. So, I'm just going to add a few more like extra points on this, and then I'm just going to open it up. Another point to consider is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, amanina manadeina. don't desire any respect. But then the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what does he do? He goes and takes sannyas. Why? To get respect. So it's like, don't go for respect, don't go for fame, don't try and be in the limelight. And then he puts himself in a situation where that's exactly what he's getting. This is very relevant for us because sometimes the lives of individuals like Madhavendra Puri are very different to our lives. Obviously, we're living in a situation where we're a preaching movement, where we're trying to share Krishna consciousness, and therefore we try to attract a certain amount of fame and recognition in order to increase our service. That should be the goal of having any fame or recognition. So there is a case that, yes, devotees may seek fame, they may seek respect, they may seek recognition, they may try to put their name out there, but for the purpose of serving and but for the purpose of expanding Krishna consciousness for the benefit of others. Such things, however, must be done in a very, very careful way, because fame is very intoxicating, fame is very... Fame actually puts you in an illusory concept of life. It's funny, like one person says, up till the age that you're 20, you're really concerned what people think about you. By the time you're 40, you don't really care what people think about you anymore. And then when you eventually reach 60, you realize no one was thinking about you anyway. So even fame is quite a funny thing, because it's like, even someone in a famous position, they think like, everyone's thinking about me, everyone's focused on me. But to be honest, everyone's got their own problems and their own life anyway, so no one's really thinking about us that much anyway. But fame is so, it puts you in so much of an illusion that you almost start taking yourself more seriously than you should as well. So fame is very illusory, it's very ethereal, it's very distracting, it's very intoxicating. And therefore, anyone who's putting themselves in that position, even for the purpose of service, must be very, very careful. And then it's interesting that many devotees will try for fame, and hopefully for a good cause. And it's also an interesting phenomenon, you may have noticed it, that fame just comes to some devotees, and it just doesn't come to other devotees. Have you noticed that? And it's not to do necessarily even with purity. Krishna has a different plan for everyone. So some people may just naturally get more respected, more famous, more recognition. And another person who's just on the same level may get nothing. If you read Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, it's interesting. There was one sannyasi. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was an astrologer. He was expert in astrology. So one time there was one of his sannyasi disciples, and he had just done his astrological chart. So it was open, the chart. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur walked past, and he just glanced at his chart. And he looked at his chart, and he said, amazing, like your purity, your knowledge, your dedication, your Vaishnav qualities, incredible. And then he walked a little further and he said, but in this life, you will not have much influence. You will not be able to influence people because of the malefic influence of a certain planet, he said. So that's interesting. Some people will just, Krishna has a different plan for them. So, fame, the Vaishnavas don't want it. We want it. Many or I want it. Because we are insecure. That was the second point we talked about. The third point we talked about is how in the intermediate stage we have to find some meaningfulness, some sense of self-worth by placing ourselves in Varanashram and then eventually transcend it. The fourth point we talked about is that, yes, sometimes devotees also will seek fame and recognition for their service, but then that should be done with great caution. And then the fifth point we talked about is that some devotees will get fame and reputation and others won't, and it's not necessarily a reflection of their purity. Like some weeks ago, Srinivas Prabhu was reading that book, Saints of Vraj. We got it in the Brahmacharya Ashram library. So there's all these like far out saints who lived in Vrindavan, in Vraj. Like there's accounts, O.B.L. Kapoor wrote this book. And it's like, you probably like, if it wasn't for that book, you would never even read about them. You'll never know about them, like, but completely pure devotees. So for some, fame will come, for others not. And then maybe I'll end on this point and then open it up. The ultimate thing is that who is the most famous? Krishna is the most famous, is it? Or is there someone even more famous than Krishna? Ramananda Rai asked Mahaprabhu, Kirti gana madhya jiver kona bada kirti. Kirti gana madhya jiver kona bada kirti. Amongst all living entities in the world who are famous, kona bada kirti, who is the most famous? Krishna bhakta boliya yonhara hoya khyati. The devotee of Krishna is the most famous. Even if the whole world doesn't know about that devotee, the most famous person in the entire creation, who's Krishna, is focusing on that devotee. So if the most famous person in the entire creation is focusing on this person, is incredibly interested in this person, then who can be more famous than that person? And so in the highest spiritual sense, the devotee of Krishna is the most famous. So those are some points on fame, recognition, respect, and the need to have some sense of self-worth. I don't know if anyone has any comments or questions or points they would like to raise. Yeah, Prayojan Guru.
I just want to quote Guru Maharaj was speaking on Krishna, and he was, it was chapter 7, we're born into desire and hatred. But the one thing he said, the thing that comes from that, like and dislike, it's based on our personal desire. So, but what he did say, he says, the thing is, if you like something and you don't like something, you're criticizing Krishna. I like this bit of Krishna, but I don't like that bit of Krishna. And he says, and yet Krishna says, Aham sarva prabhavo itima bhava jantima. Everything comes from Krishna. So he says, in this way, it's very offensive. It's offensive to the understanding of the tattva, that actually everything does come from Krishna. Whether it be false, so-called, or prestige, still comes from Krishna. You know, like Madhavendra Puri, everything he got came from Krishna. It was given by Krishna. But it's like Sudama Vipra. He said, don't give me this thing, you know, because I know if I go and ask Krishna for something and he gives me something, I'm such a fool, I'll be influenced by it. So I mustn't ask him for anything. And yet Krishna pushed him on it. And yeah. He says, haven't you brought me anything? Oh, and he remembered just a few grains of rice. So, but he didn't think it was good enough to offer Krishna. But Krishna says...
Yeah, so Krishna may give, whatever Krishna gives... There's this really nice letter by Prabhupada, and he says, I can't remember who he writes it to, maybe Gurudas Prabhu. He says, what does a devotee need? Devotee doesn't need anything. He just needs a little prasad, a little place to lie down and sleep, and a little bit of seva. And if Krishna wants to make him a big leader, that's okay. And if Krishna doesn't, that's also okay. So it's just very nice, like, yeah, that devotee is really in that mood, that, okay, if Krishna wants this, okay, no problem. The Vaishnavas want me to do that, no problem. So that's a really, yeah, that's a nice way of seeing it, that whatever comes, comes by Krishna's will. And we accept that. Yeah, Ian. Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting point in life. Like, even with fame, many devotees have talked about this, that for a lot of their life they were fighting with fame, like, or recognition or respect, and like, no, I don't want it, I don't want it, like running away from it. And at one point they realized that that was the desire of the Vaishnavas, for them to do that. And they said, actually, the moment that they embraced it as a service, like, Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and then he was, you know, like, the devotees used to make, like, these humongous vyasasans, you know. I mean, you feel like sometimes you can feel Prabhupada in some of these pictures, it feels like a bit excessive, you know, like. So Prabhupada must have been sitting on one of these vyasasans, and then someone, like, from the crowd shouted out, like, hey, you get down! And Prabhupada just looked at the person and said, in my life, I never thought to sit on a seat like this. But the day my spiritual master told me to do it, since that day, I never doubt it. I do it without hesitation. So this devotee was just reflecting that at one point you just embrace it. Like, okay, God, this is like so uncomfortable, but okay. Service is the most important thing. And then you actually become a little peaceful and, yeah. So to see it's all coming from Krishna, very nice.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for that wonderful class. I wanted to ask a question about respect because you spoke on it. So if you're not, we're not probably on the receiving end, but on the giving end, because we have someone that we respect and we really value, we feel like are very influential to our growth. And we want to give them that respect, we want to show it to them, but that's something they're also running from as well. What's the best way for us who are trying to give this respect? Could be to a spiritual master, to a shiksha guru, or to a mentor, whatever. What's the best way for us to act, you know, so that we can also be on the positive side of that individual and be, you know, make them feel like what they're giving us is actually, you know, really helping us in our lives?
I think the best way to respect the Vaishnavas is to follow what they are recommending to us. What's the best way to honor the spiritual master, for example? Prabhupada was in front of all of his godbrothers, you know, Vyasa Puja of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he said, Vyasa Puja, Vyasa Puja. What is Vyasa Puja? Is Vyasa Puja just a festival of flowers and fruits and lots of singing? Or is the real glorification of the spiritual master in following what they have to say? So, you see, sometimes we cop out for, not cop out, because sometimes it's done in a good way, but sometimes what we do is we give a very easy type of respect, which is like words, gifts, attention. But the hard type of respect to give someone is actually take their words seriously and change your life. Can you give that type of respect? And you know what? With a senior person, if you give that type of respect, they'll actually be drawn to you because they'll see, I'm trying to serve this person and this person's taking it seriously and they're advancing. They're drawn to give more to you. So we should always think about how to respect in a deep way. And a deep way doesn't just mean the external things, but the deep way means doing the internal things to actually follow the spirit of that Vaishnav. That's the best way to respect. Therefore, Prabhupada said, the spiritual master lives forever is in instructions, and the follower lives with him. I don't know if anyone else has any questions, comments, thoughts on fame, respect, recognition. Yes, Srinivas Prabhu.
I don't know if you can read it. It's...
Yeah, please.
Okay.
What does lower than the straw in the street mean? Although the Vaishnavas are topmost, they consider themselves lower than the straw in the street. Actually, they are not fallen or low class. They are very dear to the Lord and are fit to be worshipped. Everyone should show them respect. To think I am a particle of dust at the lotus feet of my spiritual master, or I am the servant of Guru and Krishna, is what is meant by becoming lower than the straw in the street. We should show compassion towards all living entities, develop taste for chanting the Lord's names and serve Vaishnavas. These are Mahaprabhu's three principal instructions. If we think ourselves lower than the straw in the street, we will not take shelter of duplicity while displaying only a pretense of humility. We will actually become humble and thereby eligible to chant. In other words, true humility means to develop a taste for chanting and to become a true servant of the holy name. Service to Guru and Vaishnavas is the gateway through which we develop such taste. Service to the spiritual master and Vaishnavas is certainly amount to becoming a lord in the straw in the street. This does not mean that we should become a subordinate to non-devotees. Rather, it means to beg mercy from the and show respect to devotees. The Mahajans instructed us not to display our humility before everyone. To show our humility towards hypocrites or envious atheists like Ramana is not what it means to think ourselves lower than the straw in the street. If we break this instruction, we will never become qualified to chant the holy name. Rather, our actions will amount to our becoming envious of others. Hanuman burned Lanka for Ram, and that is an example of becoming lower than the straw in the street.
Thank you, very nice. Yeah. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made that strong point. In the final days, he said to his disciples that your advancement in spiritual life will be proportionate to how closely you follow this verse, Trinadapi Sunichaina, Tarodapi Sahishnana, Manina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So that tolerance, that humility, that genuine desire to want to be free of the opportunity of being respected, that is going to be the determining factor in how deeply we're able to absorb ourselves in the holy name, and how sustainably we're going to be able to chant the holy name. And therefore, this is our constant prayer. Humility really is, yes, that's the key. When O.B.L. Kapoor came to Prabhupada and said, "What is it? What is the secret potion that you're taking? I want some of that stuff. What is it that makes you such an advanced Vaishnava?" Prabhupada quoted this verse and he said, "It's not a secret. It's not a secret. This is the formula." And Prabhupada told him, "One day I'll preach it all over the world and everyone will know the formula." So by Prabhupada's mercy, we know the formula, and somehow or other have to become humble. Become humble. Is that a comment? Or? Yeah. Last one.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class. I was just remembering my Guru Maharaj sent me a message. I was giving a class about it, about how Prabhupada met a scientist that was experimenting on plants, and he said that In view of this tolerant as a tree, there was an experiment done. This scientist was getting a Nobel Prize or something honorary to do with science. I don't know exactly. But he had experimented. He had three plants in a room, and people came past the plants. And then one day, someone came in and macheted the plants. And they were monitoring the response of the plant. And because a tree can't move, it has to just tolerate everything that's done to it. But they have feelings, so they could monitor that the trees, they felt fear and they felt pain. And then the next time that the people were coming through, they let them heal for a while. And then the people were coming through and they'd healed and they were okay. They weren't flinching or anything. But then when the same person came in the room, they got scared again and they remembered that they would feel pain. So I felt that was really interesting thing, just to say how tolerant we have to be.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.